Hey there, welcome to the Friday edition of the program. I'm Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Thanks so much for stopping by. We have got a great show for you today. As we do each Friday, we're going to fast forward and look at the mass readings for the upcoming Sunday. This week, it's going to be the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're also going to play an interview that I did with Father Jim Sitchko. Now, if you haven't heard Father Jim, you're going to really enjoy him on this program. Father Jim travels the country. He's a traveling evangelist. He got permission from his bishop to do this. He hails from Kentucky. I believe it's the Diocese of Lexington. And he goes out around the country, actually around the world, I believe, spreading the good news. And he's going to be in the Philadelphia area. I look forward to meeting him. He's going to be in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, in the not-too-distant future, the end of September. Father Jim really has a great knack for telling it like it is. He's a likable guy, and he just tells it like it is, and he makes you realize how often, he makes us all realize, and I'm going to include me in that, how often we just forget about the Lord, and we struggle to find him, or we neglect to find him, I should say, in the ordinary things of the world. That's Father Jim's specialty, finding God in the ordinary. We're going to play this interview that I did with him on Spirit in the Morning, and I really think you will enjoy that. He's going to challenge us a little bit, and I really think we need to be challenged because, I was thinking about this today. Christianity, the gospel message, is radical. It's absolutely radical. If you listen to what Jesus says, and I mean really listen and try to live it, okay? If you do that, it's an incredibly radical message that is totally countercultural. It goes against the beliefs of our society. The problem is, and I've done this for so many years, and sadly, I still might do it. I know I still do it at times. The problem is, we think Christianity's not that bad, right? Not that difficult. But that's because we're not really listening to what Jesus is saying, and we're not following his directions. So when you go to Mass on Sunday and you feel really comfortable and you think, well, this is good. I'm a good Catholic. And look, don't get me wrong. I did this for years and I thought what I was doing was great because that's what the vast majority of us think. All I need to do is go to church, or even in today's world, we see many people who don't feel the need to go to church anymore, who think, well, I'm a pretty good person. That's all I need to do. Me and God have an arrangement. No, it's going to be very clear in today's gospel, in Sunday's gospel that we will read on today's show. Jesus founded a church. And if we really follow the teachings of that church, it's difficult. It's difficult to be a Christian. But it's the only way you will find peace in this world is to follow Christ. But I mean really follow him. Not just follow him on Sunday by sitting in the building for an hour and then going about your daily life. Man, I'm fired up already. I didn't even get the show started. But it's true. The message of the gospel is a radical one. Are you willing to really follow Jesus? Are you willing to get out of the boat? It's tough out there, but he's going to be with you. That's the thing you need to remember. The reason people are so upset and miserable and hopeless in this world, including the people you see at church on Sunday, is because they don't have that personal friendship with Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. We have got to accept his offer of friendship if we expect to have peace in our lives. He's already friends with us. He's got the relationship with us. Our relationship with him is dependent upon us turning to him and saying, Lord, I love you. Take over my life, Lord Jesus. I surrender to your will. That's the only way you're going to get peace in life. So we will talk about that further on the program today, especially with Father Jim. All right, it's time to pray so I can calm down for a minute. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for allowing us to come together and talk about your church, to talk about you, to talk about your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for creating us. If we're listening to this, we're alive, so we thank you for the gift of life because we know that we will never die. We will be able to live eternally. Father, we ask that you allow us to live with you in heaven. That's where we want to live. That's where we want to spend eternity. Help us to know what to do. Help us to keep focused on you in the midst of the craziness of daily life. Father, help us to be lights shining in the darkness. Help us to be able to go out and make a difference in the world. Father, we lift up our intentions, whatever they may be. You know what they are. We lift them up. We ask you to help us to guide us, to strengthen us, to give us the grace to be able to make it through today and never lose hope. Father, we ask you to help and heal anyone who is sick, anyone who is anxious, lonely, anyone dealing with doubt or despair, anyone who is battling addiction, anybody who is struggling with an extreme weather condition. We especially lift up our brothers and sisters in Texas who are in the path of Hurricane Harvey. We ask you, Father, to spare them. To spare them any destruction, keep them safe, and allow them in the midst of the chaos to feel your peace. I ask you, Father in heaven, to speak through me today on the program, to send your Holy Spirit to come alive in me so that your message can go out over the airwaves. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I am all ready to go. Time to take a sip of the beverage du jour today. Ready? That was dumb, because as I was holding the beverage up to my lips, I decided to say, ready? And at that moment, I began to dribble. It's not a pretty sight, but anyway, my beverage du jour is a can of Coke. That's what I've got, a nice can of Coke. Sometimes that can be so good. I hope you have a beverage today, your coffee, your water, whatever it is. I hope you are ready to settle in and talk about Jesus for the next 30 minutes. It's a pleasure to be with you here on Blog Talk Radio. For more information about my work, if this is your first time listening to this program, please visit followingthetruth.com. If you or somebody you know happens to be a worrier, that's my area of expertise. I'm somebody who has struggled with anxiety throughout my life. Please check out my brand new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up to receive it every day, every Monday through Friday if you want. There's a video version as well. There's a weekly version of the podcast. There's a weekly blog post. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And you'll see an image there that says, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You click on that, and that'll take you over to my Patreon page, and you can sign up for the podcast there. And just a word, so you know, I do need your support with that. We're at a critical point here with my apostolate. I definitely need some financial support to be able to go forward. I'm not worried about it. The Lord wants me to be here. He's going to inspire you to donate in whatever way you need to, so I can go forward. And you may be already a donor to this program. If you are, thank you. I'm very grateful. You can donate in a couple of ways. You can sign up for the podcast, or you could go directly to followingthetruth.com and click on donate and donate through PayPal. I can't do this without your help. Without your financial help, I can't do this. If you're somebody who likes my work and you have not yet donated and you're able to, it could make the difference in keeping this apostolate around. I'm not going to overstate it. It's simply the fact. Close to 6 years into full-time ministry, it's taking its toll. So you could help me out. And I'm grateful. I don't like to talk about this, but I'm really grateful for your support. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's look at these Sunday Mass readings for the 21st week in ordinary time. The first reading comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 22, verses 19 through 23. Thus says the Lord to Shebna, master of the palace, I will thrust you from your office and pull you down from your station. On that day I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and gird him with your sash and give over to him your authority. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot to be a place of honor for his family. I want you to remember that message right there. Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, is going to have the key of the house of David placed on his shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. Authority given to a man. Hold that thought. When we look at the gospel, we will see why the church chose this first reading to go along with this gospel. That's what happens on Sunday. The first reading is specifically chosen to match the gospel. And what also happens, sometimes you're wondering, how can I make the connection? What's the theme? The response, this responsorial psalm is often the key. So let's look at that now. Psalm 138. Lord, your love is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple. I will give thanks to your name, because of your kindness and your truth. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. The Lord is exalted, yet the lowly he sees, and the proud he knows from afar. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. The Lord can work with the lowliest of the lowly. That's me. That's you. So many times we forget that message. We're going to see an example of this. Again, this theme. You don't need to be a superstar to be able to do great things for the Lord. Remember that. That's an empowering, uplifting message. If you just turn your life over to the Lord and say, Lord, I surrender. Use my gifts, use my talents, use my skills. However you need to use me, go ahead and do it. I got news for you. He is not going to say, no thanks, I don't have any job openings. He's not going to say that. So keep that in mind. It's so critical. The second reading is from a letter of St. Paul to the Romans. The letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How inscrutable are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given the Lord anything that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given the Lord anything that he may be repaid? We don't think in the same manner that God thinks. And unfortunately, too many times, we look at events, we look at circumstances in our lives, and we try to place human standards on God's judgment. Why in the world is God doing this? Does he know what he's doing? Look at this knucklehead that he's chosen to do this or that project, right? God knows what he's doing. And in the gospel, we're going to see an example. God will use our skills, yes. But if we surrender to him and say, Lord, use us, he's going to do greater things with us than we could ever, ever, ever do on our own. I don't care how skilled or how talented you are, he could do infinitely better than you ever can. So let's not get arrogant. Let's not look down on some people, because if you look at the apostles, and you're going to see an example in a minute in the gospel, Jesus did not choose outstanding scholars or people who were well respected. He chose the lowly. He chose people who were willing to use whatever talents they had, no matter how insignificant those talents were, just because they said yes, you know? So he chooses you and me too. He chooses everybody to do something. It's up to us though to say, yeah, Lord, okay, I trust that you'll be there for me. I trust you're going to use me in some way. The Gospel of Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. It's a familiar one. You've heard it before. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said in reply, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Okay, so what's happening here is Jesus is setting up Peter, lowly Peter, the fisherman, as the first pope. That's what he's doing. He's saying, Peter, as the head of the church, you have the ability to bind and loose, to open and shut. Remember that first reading? In other words, we as Catholics have been given a leader. And you know, so many times people look at the Pope, because everybody knows better than Jesus. Everybody knows better than Jesus. Everybody knows better than everybody. You see a lot of that now. It drives me crazy, to be honest with you. Jesus gave us a Pope to lead us. That Pope is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Pope Francis didn't fill out a job application, seek out this job, and he wasn't chosen because he had the right qualifications necessarily. He was chosen because the Holy Spirit inspired the cardinals to vote for him. We got to believe that. Too much of the world downplays the power of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. It's real. It better be real, because that's all we got. When you look at what's going on in the world, if you get too fixated on the nitty-gritty details and lose sight of the fact that God's in charge, you're going to get really depressed. We have a church founded by Christ. This church is not going anywhere. Don't let anybody tell you Catholic Church is going to fade away, it's going to crumble. It's not. Jesus said it. I'm going to take his word for it. I don't need some news commentator to tell me that the church is in great trouble. Will the church be wounded? Yeah, no doubt. The church will be battered and beaten. But the church will survive under the leadership of the Holy Father. St. Peter was the first pope. Was he a weakling? Yep. Did he mess up? Sure. His failures are well documented in sacred scripture. But the church is still here. The church is not going anywhere. Take comfort in that fact. And furthermore, be willing to be used by the Lord to do something, to share the good news in some way. Turn to him if you haven't done it tonight and say, Lord, use me. I surrender to your will. I know I have skills and talents. I'm not even sure what they are, but use me. Send people into my life. Send situations to me. Open doors for me so that I can help you to share the good news. If you do that, he's not going to say no, I promise you. Okay, I've talked enough. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, Father Jim Sitchko, don't miss it. You're listening to the Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. 29-year-old Daniel Andrade suffers from a severe type of cerebral palsy, leaving him unable to walk, talk, or move since birth. Yet thanks to his loving mom, Irma, he's able to attend Mass once a week. Every Sunday, Irma washes, dresses, and carries her son down the stairs of their second-floor apartment to his wheelchair in the driveway below. The pair then walk the 3 blocks to St. John the Baptist Church in their hometown of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Irma's faced many challenges in her life, including abandonment by her husband after Daniel was born, but as she told the Rhode Island Catholic, I opened my arms and trusted God that he would give me the strength to raise Daniel the best I can. I thank God for everything he's given me. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Well, on the line, we have a regular guest, Father Jim Sitchko, who, by the way, he's going to be coming to the area, Cherry Hill, at St. Mary's Parish, on September the 30th through October the 3rd. Father Jim will be here. He'll be in town, and that's not too far from us right here in the Philadelphia area. So make sure you go out to see Father Jim. Father Jim's going to join us now to talk about how we can find God in the ordinary. Father Jim Sitchko, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And good morning to Philly and all those who are listening through the web. This morning.
That's right, Father. You have people listening all over the world to you because you lift so many people up each and every day.
Oh, well, you're very kind. It's just by using the senses that God has given us, minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears, to recognize that God is present every day in our lives, even as difficult of days it may be, God is with us.
That is such a powerful message. Father, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. You know, you and I don't rehearse these things. We depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us. Are you ready?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. When we open up our Bibles, we look at two examples that just popped into my head this morning as I was driving over. I was asking the Holy Spirit to inspire me. I got two examples in my head. Mary Magdalene weeping at the tomb of Jesus, not realizing that his body wasn't stolen, but that he rose from the dead. That's number one. Number two, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus is walking right beside them, but they are dejected. They are looking downward. They think their world came to an end, completely missing the fact that something good happened. Jesus rose from the dead. Father, we look at those stories. We look at those stories and we say, boy, they were really dumb. They missed it. We do that every day, don't we?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, and let's not forget, those people were with Jesus.
Yeah.
They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him with others. You know, they saw him healing the sick.
Right.
They saw him. I mean, they were actually with him,
mm-hmm.
and yet they still, in a way, could not truly comprehend all that he had to give.
That's right.
Okay. And the same is with us. Let's not forget, we receive him. Those of us who are listening who are Roman Catholic,
yeah.
we receive him in the Eucharist, all right? We receive him in the Word of God. We receive him through one another at church, and we go out the doors, and then we either forget about it,
mm-hmm.
or we think that it doesn't care.
Right.
And in a let me tell you something, in a very powerful way, I always share with people, if you think just going to Mass every weekend is what's going to get you to heaven, you know, you're going to be probably in the smoking section, okay? and you know, what I mean by that is that Mass is a high point. It's a pinnacle. Yeah. It's where we all come together. But it's also where we're called to go forth
mm-hmm.
and be Christ to one another and receive Christ from one another. And I would say 9 times out of 10, when I experience Jesus, it's not always in the people that I would have expected it,
right.
or that are most like me, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing, you know, but you know, I'm just saying that God is present. God is alive. God is there. I'll give you a unique story
yeah.
that happened. I had been down in Texas, and I did I celebrated a funeral mass of a neighbor of mine, and then and it was very well attended, and
all right.
I spoke some words at the end, and then the following weekend I traveled about 5 hours northeast to Manny, Louisiana, which is a very small town in Louisiana. It's in the Diocese of Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was getting ready for Mass, this woman walks out of the restroom, and she looks at me, and she says, oh, my gosh. She says, you're Father Jim. And I said, well, yes. And she says, I heard you at the funeral Mass this last week.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, okay. She goes, so this is your church? I said, no, this isn't my church. I'm here visiting. And she looked and she said, well, so am I. And she says, I can't believe this. And she said, do you know who I am? I said, no. She goes, I'm the mother of one of your best friends who was in kindergarten with you.
Whoa.
And we just started talking and sharing. She said, I have been past church for years,
mm-hmm.
and I just decided to come in and see what it was like and attend Mass. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, there's a lot of those people in our church,
right?
Who are dropping in, who are just visiting. My question to you is, how are they received?
Mm.
Are they received with a welcome spirit? Are they received with a Christ spirit? Do we even recognize those strangers in our midst? There are many times for evangelization, you know?
Yeah.
And how are we as churchgoers? When we see someone in the pews who we don't know, do we dare go over after Mass and introduce ourselves?
Oh, you're scaring me, Father. No, I don't like that, Father. I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
We're not used to that.
That's right. Which means, guess what? Let's look back at the story of Peter walking on the water.
Right.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
There had to be at least 10 other people in the boat.
Exactly. I agree.
What did they do?
Yeah.
They sat in their comfortable spot.
That's right.
You know, I tell parishioners all the time and people all the time, God forbid someone should sit in our pew in church.
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to do?
I know.
What are we going to do?
That's right.
What
that's,
are we going to do?
That's my pew, and I also don't like to be crowded.
That,
right? I mean, hey, look, You know what? I'll be honest with you, though. That's something that I fight. That's a tendency that I have. It's like, I don't know these people. They're new. Ooh, they never go.
That's right.
They don't belong to this parish.
Yeah, but again, we don't know. Yeah, that's right. And that is a normal response.
Mm.
But see, God doesn't call us to be normal.
There you go. I love that. Father, can I quote you on that? You're so right, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because it's true. God calls us to go out of the boat. God calls us to reach out to those who are less fortunate. God calls us, doesn't call us to forgive those who are unforgivable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll say something, and trust me, I do not ever, and some people get upset with me for this, but I don't get political, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I stand up for the values of our Catholic faith,
right,
and I defend them the realm. But I'm not going with everything. There has to be balance.
Right.
Okay? And I say the same thing to any political leader that there might be great disdain about or hurt about. You know, instead of running our mouth, let's get on our knees and pray.
Exactly.
If God can convert Russia and everything through our Blessed Lady, so can we. Through the power of prayer, through God and all the angels and saints. And so what I'm saying is, we do so much of running our mouths when we can be quiet and be on our knees and praise and thank God and pray.
I totally agree.
And be people of prayer.
I agree. You know? I agree, Father. We talk about that a lot on this program. We see a lot of this on social media right now, a lot of complaining, right, a lot of finger-pointing, but are we praying for the people who are criticizing? And
I'm
so glad you're preaching that message. Father, we have about 1 minute left in the segment. Cherry Hill, you are coming to St. Mary's Parish September the 30th through October the 3rd. I can't wait. That's not too far from my house. I'm going to buy you a cheesesteak, if that's okay.
I can't wait.
All right.
And then we're going to discuss it on the radio.
That's right. We're going to do that. But I encourage everybody to come out and hear Father Jim, because what you heard right now is what you're going to hear, right? You've got a great message, I'm sure, in store for the people of Cherry Hill.
Oh, I can't wait. Lots of stories, lots of humor. I'm going to use some music, some singing.
All right.
I ask everyone to find out Cherry Hill at the end of September, and the way I say it is this: 60 minutes for Jesus, okay?
Right.
60 minutes. We're going to start right on time. We're going to end right on time, and it's only 60 minutes out of your evening. I know you have got a commute, but you're used to doing that.
That's right.
Get out there and make the time.
That's right.
Put it on your calendar now and do it.
That's right, Father. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. You are awesome. I can't wait to meet you in person.
Same here, and blessings to all of your listeners, all right, and to you.
All right, thank you so much, Father Jim Sitchko. Man, it's going to be good. Cherry Hill, New Jersey, September the 30th. Be there.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 22:34, when the Pharisees asked Jesus which of the commandments in the law is the greatest, he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." They hadn't asked for the second, but Jesus stated it because he saw both as going together. They weren't keen on loving one's neighbor as oneself, unless one's neighbor was considered equal. Certainly, they didn't see the Sadducees as their equal, nor the Romans, nor those who were considered the lower classes, nor their enemies. Our Lord knew this quite well. How well do we know this? How much do we love him? How much do we love our worst enemy? The two are the same question. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Father Serpa. Welcome back to the program. Guess what? We're completely out of time. I want to thank Father Jim Sitchko for joining us, and I want to thank you for joining us as well. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember, don't lose hope. The church is not going anywhere. And also, remember to volunteer your services to the Lord. He will use you. I promise you that. If there's anything I could do for you, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Remember to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you could send along a donation, it would be very much appreciated. Or if you could subscribe to the new podcast, it would be appreciated as well. Enjoy your weekend. God bless you, and God willing, we'll see you back on Monday. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.